I love this band. So excited to talk to this guy. Been awesome. Such a big fan. And on the show now, Randy Bachman. Randy!
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, it's a real good morning for me. It's 6 o'clock here.
You know, I was shocked to hear that you were willing to get up to talk to us, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
You had to get up anyways.
For what?
No, I'm, you know, this happens all the time when you're plugging a tour and we're coming on tour
right.
to your area, your neighborhood, and I've got to say hello, I'm coming, and come on out and enjoy the show.
October 25th, College Street Music Hall, and there are some tickets available, and I'm guessing you guys play all the hits?
About 20 to 25 hits. We play my round of hits with a guest who from American Woman to Laughing on Done, No Sugar Tonight. My son Tal's in the band. He sings this hit, She's So High, which is from a few years ago. And we do all the BTO stuff.
Oh, man.
Album cuts, everything. The fans go to our website and ask us to play a lot of songs that we normally don't play. But when you're a fan, you're deep into album cuts, and we get the odd request for an album cut that you don't usually play on stage. It's fun, a lot of fun.
Like which song?
Some people ask for Down Down, A Shotgun Rider, Don't Get Yourself in Trouble, Give Me Your Money Please,
Holy cow.
Take It Like a Man, and then you throw in all the other hits.
Now, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. That was originally not going to be on the album, right? You wrote that as kind of a goof for your brother who had a stutter?
Yeah, I was producing the band. So you go and you jam a track out to get the bass sound, the drum sound. You move the microphones around until you get the sound you want. And so it would be more than like 12 bars. I just sang anything. I thought, I'm going to tease my brother. I grew up with three brothers, so all we did was tease each other and play tricks on each other. So we're grown men now. We haven't played a trick on each other in years. I thought, I'm going to stutter like my brother, mix one copy of this on a cassette and send it to him and scare him that it's on the album, that I'm getting the last ha-ha-ha and the last hurrah. And we did that and put it away. And the guy, the head of our label came to hear the album. He said, I like the album. I don't hear a really great single. And the engineer said, play him the throwaway track. And I said, no, you can't. We can't. The guitar's not even in tune. I don't even know what it's about. I'm singing and stuttering. It's a bad vocal. We played it for him. And he looked at me and said, this is a hit. I've heard nothing like this on the radio ever. And it's the first BTO album that had the extra song. Because we only had four aside when you're doing classic rock. They're each song 4 or 5 minutes long. We had to take the five longest songs on one side, the shortest ones, and put them together. And then there's just five and four. So we put this extra song on. And I thought it was a mistake. And it went to number one in 22 countries.
Number one. Wow. You know, there's so many. We're talking to Randy Bachman, Bachman Turner Overdrive, the Guess Who, coming to College Street Music Hall on Saturday, October 25th. We talk to a lot of artists who say that same thing. The record guy comes in, and it's almost like they're trained to say this to push you to write one more song. They say, I don't hear a hit.
Yeah.
And then that's usually where the biggest hit comes from on the album. Have you had that happen to you in the Guess Who?
Yes. A jam session on stage when I broke a guitar string. I was tuning up the guitar, and we had no tuner, so I'm tuning to a piano. I'm on my knees in front of Burton's electric piano going, dun, 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 tuning up my guitar. As I'm going, dun, 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 I go, dun, 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 dun.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And I'm on my knees in the dark on the stage because the band had left the stage. I'm changing the guitar string. We had no roadies in those days. And as I play this riff, the whole audience head snapped towards the stage, and I go, oh, my God, I can't forget this riff. So I stood up playing it, and the band came on stage one at a time, playing the riff over and over and over, like Sunshine of Your Love. You just play it and play it and play it and play it to get this riff in your head. And Burton Cummings came running on stage, and I said, sing something. And he said, what? What is this? I said, sing anything. I got to remember this riff. And you should remember a guitar riff or a bass riff if you sing along it, because it helps you recall it, or else you're going to forget it. And he sang American Woman, Stay Away From Me 4 times. We soloed. He sang it again. We soloed again. It was over. He came the next night and he said, I think everybody liked that song. Should I add more lyrics? I said, yeah, add them. And then that song went to number one, out of the blue.
Oh, my God.
Out of nowhere.
Wow. Wow.
So I don't call them my greatest hits. I call them my greatest mistakes.
Yeah. But it works. But that's funny how those songs come to you. Who did you grow up listening to? Who was your influence?
Well, I started playing when I was 5. I played classical violin until I was 14. And when you play violin, you play one thing, melody.
Yeah, and you realize you're not going to pick any chicks up doing that either.
Right, so I'm playing melody, and I realized I was playing by ear. My teacher would play a song first, and then I would play it perfectly. And I had perfect phonographic memory. If I heard it, I remembered it.
Yeah.
And she asked me to audition for the Junior Symphony, 85 kids playing like a symphony. And I was going to be second violin. And when I went to the tryout, I made a mistake. And the conductor said, let's take it from the top, bar 32, second violin, it's an E flat, not an E natural. And I don't know what he's talking about, because I'm playing by ear. Everyone else is playing by music. It's a Chopin piece, right? So we get to the same part in the song, we start over. I play the same note. And he stops again, tap, tap, tap. Second violin, what don't you understand about bar 32? And I said, I'm sorry, sir, I don't know what you're saying. And he said, can you play an E on the violin? I said, sure. And I played the E. It's an open string. He said, can you play an E flat? And I was stumped. I didn't realize that if you went on the string before and played one down, you'd get an E flat. I packed up the violin. I went home. It's at like noon on a Saturday. And this is at Neil Young's high school, by the way, in Winnipeg, Meadows High School, trying out. And my mother says, did you make it? And I said, no, I'm never playing again. She said, what do you mean? I said, I can't play with these kids. I can't read the music. I play everything by ear. I'm never playing violin again. She said, oh, that's too bad. The next day, her sister came over, who's 10 years younger than her. They both watched Elvis on TV, a black and white TV. And I'm there sitting there, a 14-year-old kid, a classically trained kid, saying, what is that? And they go, that's called a guitar. This is called rock and roll. And that's a guy called Elvis Presley. I said, I want to do that. That's insane. The guy's going crazy. Everybody's screaming. Because classical violin, you stand there perfectly. You must have perfect posture. It's an upstroke, a downstroke on your bow and everything. Everything has to be perfect. And this rock and roll was so wild, I wanted to do that. So I got my cousins had a guitar. I brought the guitar for a weekend. And when they came home from their fishing trip, they're going to laugh at me. I played every song on the radio, but I played the lead because I had violin in my head playing one note at a time.
Wow.
And then I joined a band right away playing lead guitar. We had a hit called Shaking All Over, and boom, and here I was in school. We were all in high school with a number one hit in Canada and the top 20 in Billboard. And so the mid-60s, I quit school, went to New York and joined Scepter Records, went on the Louie Kingsman tour with Dion and the Belmonts and the Kingsmen and the Turtles and a whole bunch of other great rock and roll bands. And here I am today, many years later.
Wow. Randy Bachman, Bachman Turner Overdrive, the Guess Who on the show, coming to College Street Music Hall Saturday, October 25th. So if you were an Elvis fan when the Beatles came in, how did you feel about them? Some people didn't like the Beatles because it was the end of the Elvis era.
Well, the Beatles did the same thing Elvis did. They were messengers. Elvis gathered bluegrass, gospel, rockabilly, blues, and brought it to us. And by us, I mean white kids in Winnipeg, Manitoba, the middle of Canada, that never ever heard any black music played unless we would get WLS in Chicago, because you're on the prairies. Remember old AM radio? You could get the really good music at night. And it just kind of changed our whole life, hearing that music coming, you know, from the States and wanting to play that way. And it really influenced everything that we did. And so I'm listening to Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Elvis, everything that came out at that moment, Jerry Lewis, everybody at that time. then you listen to their copycats. So the Elvis copycats were Gene Vincent, Eddie Cochran, just a guy and a guitar, cool guy with a cool wave and hair and sideburns, and there's a whole bunch of those. And then music changed, and then the Beatles absolutely changed everything, because that was the era where you had a good-looking, great guy up front, Eddie Cochran or Elvis Presley or Rick Nelson or something like that, and a backup band. When the Beatles came, everybody in the band sang. Our drummer sang all of Ringo's songs. I sang all of George Harrison's songs. Burton Cummings sang all of John Lennon's, Paul McCartney's songs. And so it changed the whole concept of a band, where drummers who never sang before could sing, because Ringo couldn't really sing. He sang terribly, but he had soul and he had heart and he was fun. And he sang boys and he sang, I want to be your man. And he sang, you know, with a little help from my friends. So all the drummers became singers. And it was really revolutionary. And the Beatles also delivered, back to the white kids, the Shirelles. You know, they copied Tonight Your Mind Completely, when We Used to Love You Tomorrow.
Right.
They copied gospel. They did rock and roll. They did old British music hall, like Oblige Dee, Oblige Da. And they did a mixture. I remember playing an Elvis album for my parents. They loved it. My mother loved it because he kind of did a few gospel songs. When I played the first Beatle album, many years later, at my girlfriend's house, her parents loved it because Till There Was You on it, an old song they knew. So they were smart to mix old songs with new songs on the first album, because you got more than just a teenage rebel who wanted something different. You also got their parents and maybe even their grandparents, you know, doing, like I said, A Taste of Honey and Till There Was You, doing an older song, but doing a modern version of it.
Wow. Randy Bachman is on playing College Street Music Hall Saturday, October 25th, doing all the songs. He had two brilliant careers. One, the Guess Who in the 60s, and then the 70s with BTO. When you were playing in the Guess Who in the 60s, were you crossing paths with like Hendrix and Janis and Jimmy and Jim Morrison?
Yes, we were lucky enough in the late 60s, or 67, 68, to go and play pop festivals on the West Coast, Seattle Pop Festival, Sacramento. And on these were the first Led Zeppelin tour, Sly and the Family Stone, Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Jerry Lewis, old and new, Ike and Tina Turner, The Byrds, The Burrito Brothers, It's a Beautiful Day, Chicago, who were then called CTA, Santana, everybody. We were all friends. We all traveled in cars. There was no... Rock bands didn't have buses then. You had a rental car. You had your uncle's car, an old rundown car. You threw your gear in the back. Nobody had big amplifiers, little amplifiers, a suitcase, and your guitar, and you went on the road. And you lived on the road, and you played there. And it was funny. I just came back from L.A. I was there last weekend. And Friday was the end of the tour for The Who. They had played in... Desert Springs. It was their last gig, and they came to play LA for the Teenage Cancer Fund, and they invited a lot of their friends. So I was invited to the show in a guy's yard in LA. His yard was 2.5 acres. He had 1,000 people in his yard. That's cool. On stage for 3 songs each, he had Cheap Trick, Def Leppard, John Fogerty, Peter Frampton, and The Who did 7 songs. It was amazing. Classic rock is back. Everybody loves it. It's our happy days. All the music from the 70s, which is guys like me recycling what we were learning in the 60s when we were starting our teenage bands and then writing our own music. And we had the melody from the Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett stuff. We had the Elvis. We had the Beatles. We had Hendrix. We had Cream. I went to England in 1967 with the Guess Who. Clapton had just quit the Yardbirds and started Cream. Hendrix had 1 single out, which was Hey Joe. And the flip side was Stone Free. And we met the Stones. We met the Who at the Marquee Club. We were just a bunch of kids from Winnipeg who went to England to be the next Beatles. And it never happened for us. But we saw all these other bands there in the summer of 67. Then we came back 68, 69, played all the West Coast with every band you can imagine was out playing. It was like Woodstock every single night.
Randy Bachman is on. And taking care of business, before I let you go, taking care of business, that wasn't called taking care of business originally, correct?
No, I wrote it to be like a paperback writer. And it was to be called White Collar Worker. We're in the middle. The verses were the same. You get up in the morning from the alarm clock's warning, 68:50 into the city. When it got to the hook, we stopped. We were going to go, white collar worker, just like paperback writer, paperback writer. And every time I'd play the song for the band, they'd say, we can't do that. We'll get sued by Lennon McCartney. It's such a stupid ripoff of paperback writer. So that song sat around for 6 or 7 years, never made it on a Guess Who album, never made it on a BTO album. Till one night, by mistake, Fred Turner lost his voice. I had to sing a song. They had passed on White Collar Worker forever. On the way to the gig that night in Vancouver, a friend of ours, a DJ, Daryl B., was on the radio. He says, Daryl B. on CFON Radio, we're taking care of business. And I went, wow, what a song title. I got to remember that. And I have a songwriting kit in my car, which is a smashed crayon and a McDonald's napkin where I write down all my ideas.
The best.
So I wrote down this title, Taking Care of Business. I got to the gig that night. We had been playing 6 nights a week, 5 50-minute sets a night. And Fred Turner said, I can't sing anymore. He had lost his voice. I had to sing the last set on the Saturday night at a rock and roll club. I had to make everybody dance. I knew one song. Oye Como Va by Santana. I don't know any Spanish. I sang it phonetically. And then everyone's dancing, and in my mind I'm going, what are you going to do next? And an idea pops up. The band has passed on White Collar Worker for 7 years, every band you've been in. This is your chance to put it together with that title you just heard. So when I did the verses, and instead of getting to the hook where we're going to stop and go, White Collar Worker, I just kept it going, ready to Taking Care of Business. And everybody was dancing at the club, and the promoters gave me an okay sign, and the band doesn't know what's going on. I turned around and yelled, play these three chords. And when we got to the hook the next time, they sang it, and the audience sang it, Taking Care of Business. And I answered them magically. I don't know where this came from. Every day, every way, it's all mine, and working overtime, work out. And 2 weeks later, we went and recorded it, and Fred Turner said, I want you to sing this song, give me a break on stage. Nobody will care what the song is, it'll just be an album cut. It turned out to be our anthem around the world.
Wow.
Nice. And Elvis took it. It's amazing. Elvis took it as his theme, and his band was called the TCB Band, and it's on his tombstone.
That's right.
Wow.
Randy Bachman, what an honor to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on and sharing your stories. Saturday, October 25th, we're looking forward to seeing you at College Street Music Hall. We're linked up at WPLR.com. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Good morning. It's Thanksgiving here in Canada.
So happy Thanksgiving.
I know your Thanksgiving coming, and this is my turkey day. I'm going to have a nap because it's 6 in the morning now.